This is Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown Mercer County. Touchdown Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local country financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
By Diamond Ag, your local ag retailer supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Lido, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Rockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. And now, from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido, here's Hightaylor with Sportsline.
And good morning. Welcome inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Lido. It's Sportsline on a Saturday morning, a program that has been on the airwaves of this great local radio station since it signed on the air all the way back in 1979. This is Ty Taylor. Thanks so much for tuning in to Sportsline as we recap week two of the high school football season around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference this morning. Six more games in the books from last night. We'll talk this morning with five head coaches around the conference, including the local schools we cover each week. We'll talk with Mercer County head coach Fred Lucas, Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire, Orion head coach Chip Filler, and Rockridge head coach Sam Graves as well. We'll also check in with Riverdale head coach Guy Dierks as the Rams off to a 2-0 start for the first time since 2011 with another win last night. We'll talk more about Riverdale's performance in week two coming up a bit later on in the program. But really, you talk about last night around the conference, I think there's only one place to start, and that's at Bryant Field in Princeton, Illinois, where the Rockridge Rockets rally from 14 points down in the second half to defeat Princeton 35-29 to get to 2-0 on the season. Cullen Schweigen scores the game-winning touchdown for the Rockets with 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter to propel Rockridge to the victory. The Rockets, as we mentioned, trailed by 14, 29-15, the spread with 9:02 to play in the third quarter, but would go on to score the final 21 points of the night to come from behind and stun Princeton late. Schweigen accounted for all five touchdowns for the Rockets in the win. He now has 11 already this season through 2 weeks, which puts him on a really fast pace. Of course, last year, as we've talked about a few times, Cullen broke the single-season touchdown record in the Rockridge program with 32, and he's got 11 through 2 weeks of the regular season in 2025. Schweigen ran for two touchdowns and passed for three touchdowns. He connected with Aaron Wheatley early to get Rockridge on the board, a 25-yard touchdown pass there. He also threw two touchdown passes to Liam Steele and then found the end zone on two runs late in the game. Schweigen, his final two touchdowns of the night were both on the ground, an 8-yard touchdown run with 10:03 to play in the fourth that tied the game at 29, and then the 3-yard touchdown that we mentioned for him to put the Rockets ahead for good with 45 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Now, it's interesting when you kind of look at how this game ended up playing out, where Rockridge gets on the board first with 6:49 to play in the first, going up 7-0. Princeton returns the ensuing kickoff for a touchdown and converts on the two-point try to go up 8-7. So you lose basically all the momentum there. Princeton then scores again to get up 15-7 on a 65-yard touchdown run by quarterback Gavin Lannon with 3:20 to go in the first quarter. So Rockridge, I mean, really played from behind for a lot of the night. They then tied it up at 15 with 2 minutes to play in the first half before Princeton would add on a 42-yard touchdown run by Lanham with 23 seconds left in the first half. So Rockridge also faced a halftime deficit last night at 22-15 before falling behind, as we talked about, 29-15. So for most of the night, Rockridge was playing catch up. They led briefly early 7-0 before the ensuing kickoff was returned for a touchdown. That was Rockridge's only lead before they reclaimed the advantage with just 45 seconds left in the game. So, I mean, a huge win for Rockridge. We talked about it coming into the week, how even though Princeton lost to Newman a week ago, they're still a team that, you know, is very, very good and I think projects to make another deep run in the 3A playoffs. And to win on the road there is always really challenging. They do such a great job with the environment there, and there's always a really great crowd, and they stick the visitors right in front of the bleachers, which are just on one side, so it's loud, kind of difficult to communicate there. So without a doubt, Rockridge has to be just thrilled with being able to go on the road and win that game the way that they did, you know, coming from behind, facing a lot of adversity, and able to, you know, pull it out and win in the end in a game where you fall behind by 14 points to Princeton. They don't, and the way they play, you know, traditionally they just kind of pound the ball at you. They don't give up multiple score leads very often. So for Rockridge to play from behind virtually the whole night and to come back from down two scores in the second half, really, really impressive, and I think says a lot about what the potential is for this Rockridge team that I think still has a lot of room to grow. We know with Schweigen kind of what he is, but and Owen Steele, wide receiver for the Rockets, but it feels like they have quite a few pieces that still, I think, have room to grow who haven't played a ton of varsity football yet. So they'll for sure be interesting to follow the rest of the night. As Schweigen, you know, another big night numbers-wise for Cullen. Finishes 13 of 23 passing for 240 yards, three touchdowns, and then he carried the ball 13 times for 53 yards and two scores. Liam Steele, a big night receiving for Rockridge, statistically five catches for 98 yards and two touchdowns. On the flip side for Princeton, Casey Etheridge led their offensive attack, carrying the ball 20 times for 178 yards in the loss for Princeton. And then on their side of things, I mean, really odd to see them at 0-2 with the type of run they've been on. Now, there's no question in my mind that they'll right the ship and start to get things rolling starting next week as they get into divisional play in the Mississippi Division of the Track. Princeton will play at Sherrard in week three, so a chance for them to get in the win column there. As we know, Sherrard is a little bit of a different level of opponent than Newman and Rockridge have been for Princeton in weeks 1 and 2. Now, for Rockridge, they have a really interesting game coming up next week. Now, they'll play at home against Riverdale, who's also 2-0. We'll talk more about Riverdale coming up in a moment, but that has the potential, I think, to be a pretty intriguing game. There'll be a great environment there for sure, as we'll get into Riverdale's week 2 here coming up later in the program. Over at Clifford King Field last night, the Sherrard Tigers hosted the Mercer County Golden Eagles in a really unique and crazy and wild game that Mercer County ended up winning, pulling away in the fourth quarter. 28-6 was the final score. That was the first time that Aledo or Mercer County has played at Sherrard in varsity football since 2005. So the first time in 20 years. Sherrard won the last meeting over there all the way back in 2005, 23-9 over Aledo. Mercer County, though, since coming to the track, has beat Sherrard 2 years in a row, last year 34-14, and last night 28-6. It was a competitive game. I think, honestly, it felt a lot closer than what the final score says. It was 14-0 Mercer County at halftime. Golden Eagles scored first on a 30-yard touchdown run by Tannen Whitehall to get in front 6-0 after the two-point try failed. Sherrard answers with what appeared to be a game-tying touchdown as Carter Brown, on kind of a broken play, scrambling around in the pocket, made about four or five defenders miss and ran the ball 68 yards for a touchdown. It was called back, though, due to holding. Then Sherrard was assessed a personal foul on the field, arguing the call, which was the first of six personal foul penalties that were flagged on Sherrard throughout the night. So the Tigers went from, you know, scoring on a potentially a 68-yard touchdown run by Carter Brown that was just an electrifying play, to instead being faced with what ended up being first and 31 from their own 11. Now, the next play, they convert and bust a run of about 45 yards to move the chains, but that penalty was really costly in a lot of ways because it obviously, like we said, took the 6 points off the board for the Tigers. But then a couple of plays after they convert on the first and 31 to get a fresh set of downs. Carter Brown was running along the far sideline, got tackled, rolled up on his ankle, and then was taken out for the rest of the game. As he came across the field, really no pressure he was able to put on his left foot. He didn't leave the trainer's table for the rest of the night and was on crutches post-game. So Sherrard played basically for three quarters of the game without their best player, their quarterback, outside linebacker, and returner on special teams too. So I really thought that they battled well given the circumstances. Obviously, we know that they're fighting the numbers and the lack of success recently in the Sherrard program, but they were in that game basically all night long. Mercer County, after Brown got hurt, scored on their ensuing drive to make it 14-0. It was a drive, though, that was aided by another Sherrard personal foul. It was going to be fourth down and 12 after a third down stop for Sherrard, just shy of midfield for Mercer County. But a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after the play on third down gave Mercer County a fresh set of downs, which they would cash in on. John Baldwin, a 49-yard touchdown run to put the Golden Eagles up 14-0 going into the locker room at halftime. Sherrard comes out of the locker room again without Carter Brown playing and returns the opening kickoff for a touchdown to cut it to 14-6. But then Mercer County in the second half went on two terrific drives. I mean, just fantastic. You kind of really saw them get rolling in the wing tee for the first time. After Sherrard made it 14-6, Mercer County spends more than 7.5 minutes driving the length of the field, and on fourth and goal from the 1 yard line, and Tannen Whitehall off the edge on a toss play gets to the end zone and puts Mercer County back up two scores to kind of put the game away. At that point, there was about, I think, 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter. And the play that Whitehall made to get to the edge was really impressive because Sherrard had it defended really well. They had two players out there with him. He was basically one on two. There wasn't anybody leading for him, and he just was able to kind of make the first guy miss and then beat the second guy to the corner to get Mercer County in front. And basically with the lack of, you know, explosiveness that Sherrard struggles with offensively, and with, you know, an All-State player now out with injury for the rest of the night, it was going to be hard to see Sherrard, you know, consistently moving the ball. And Mercer County was able to get stops the rest of the night, scored again in the fourth quarter to go up by three scores, 28-6, which was the final score. Golden Eagles get two touchdown runs apiece from Baldwin and Whitehall. As Baldwin was their leading rusher, 95 yards on five carries for two touchdowns. Whitehall rushed it 10 times for 73 yards and two scores. But I think for both teams, it was definitely a marked improvement from week one. Now, of course, they both were playing teams that weren't as good as their week one opponents. But it was, I think, for Mercer County, you really had to like what you saw, out of, you know, some of those drives in the second half, like I was talking about, where it's more what you want to see when you run that style of offense, long drives, bleeding the clock and converting and scoring at the end, where it just felt like that 7.5 minute drive that basically took up the entirety of the third quarter was what really put the game away in my eyes. So credit Mercer County. And another thing you need to credit the Golden Eagles for, as we talked about, Sherrard was assessed 6 unsportsmanlike conduct penalties. The Tigers were penalized 9 times for 111 yards in the game, while Mercer County committed just 2 penalties for 20 yards. So Mercer County played, you know, a very clean game in terms of not being penalized and really didn't get sucked into some of the extracurricular stuff. Or maybe, I guess if you're a Sherrard listener, maybe you want me to word it that they weren't penalized for it. But again, you know, like we talked about on the broadcast last night, Monty and I, you know, we're not down there, so we're not hearing what's being said. We're not really seeing what's happening either. So I do know that on the Sherrard side of things, of course, you're going to look at the discrepancy of, I think, 6 personal fouls on your end to just 1 that was assessed against Mercer County. And that didn't come until very late in the game when the game was basically out of reach. So I know on that side of things, it's definitely one of those, you know, mindsets where it's probably like, my, oh my, like, how in the world is this only going one way? But like I said, you really got to credit the Mercer County kids for not getting penalized in that way, because if you take away those penalties, which all came at really crucial times for Sherrard, even with Carter Brown not playing, I mean, they were in that game and had a chance to win. And like Monty and I said last night, too, it felt like if he doesn't get hurt, that's a really interesting and close game to the end, because Mercer County was having all sorts of issues just trying to tackle him when he would get out in space. So it is too bad. Like we said, it looked like an ankle injury for Carter. He just is a tremendous three-sport athlete at Sherrard. So hopefully it's nothing serious, and hopefully he'll get to continue his senior season athletically, whether it be on the football field in the fall or the basketball court in the winter or on the baseball field in the spring. But definitely you can't understate how big of a win it was for Mercer County to get to 1-1. If you want to think about playing into week 10, Mercer County absolutely positively 100% had to win that game last night because of some of the, you know, really, really good teams they still have to play. So Mercer County did what they needed to do. They got a win on the road. It's never easy to win games in the track. That's for sure. Never easy to win on the road. And Mercer County gets to 1-1. Tigers fall to 0-2. Golden Eagles set up now another really interesting and important game in week 3, where they'll play at home against Orion. Sherrard next week returns to Cliverton Field to host the Princeton Tigers, who, as we mentioned, will be coming in at 0-2. Well, we talked about the Orion Chargers there a moment ago, with them being Mercer County's week 3 opponent next Friday night at George Pratt Memorial Field. Chargers fall on the road to Monmouth-Roseville last night, 48-28. Orion competed and hung around in the game for a while before Monmouth-Roseville, it sounds like, was just able to wear them down, as the Titans had two running backs rush for more than 100 yards, led by Landon Montroy, who carried the ball 24 times for 242 yards and four touchdowns. Nick Houston added 16 carries for 123 yards and a score in the win. The game was 28-14 at halftime, so Orion competed pretty well for about the first half before the Titans were able to pull away in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, respectively. So Monmouth-Roseville gets to 2-0 on the season, while the Orion Chargers slip to 1-1. And looking ahead to week 3, when you talk about trying to get yourself into the playoffs for both Mercer County and Orion, that feels like a game that both teams absolutely need to win, because both teams still have to play Rockridge and Newman. Mercer County still has a game with Princeton looming. Both teams still have to play Riverdale, and they looked really good. Erie Prophetstown's 2-0, who looks to be good as well. So we talked about this with Coach Fred Lucas last night, and we'll talk about it more with him this morning too. It's just, as you know, to win games in this league, it's so hard. And when you have the chance to do it, you have to be able to cash in, because getting to 5 wins in the track, I mean, you got to earn your way into the playoffs, that's for sure. So a huge game coming up. Should be a lot of fun when Mercer County and Orion kick it off at George Pratt Memorial Field Friday. All right, quickly around the rest of the track last night, the Riverdale Rams with a statement-making win. They defeat Kewaunee 54-7. On the road. The Rams now 2-0 for the first time since 2011. They're trying to get back into the playoffs for the first time in quite some time. We talked about it, you know, last week. They're a program that 3 years ago canceled their varsity season with just 18 kids out for football in the whole school. Those numbers have ballooned up to 54. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of energy. There's a lot of excitement, and there's a lot of talent on that team, who brought basically everybody back from a year ago. Their JV team just slaughtered everybody last year too. So they're off to a 2-0 start, and they're going to play in what's like the most high profile Riverdale football game in a really, really long time next week. They're going to go on the road and take on Rockridge in a game where both teams are 2-0. That will be an incredible environment. There will be a great crowd at that game. I know Riverdale, they'll travel really, really well, and Rockridge has a great following at home too. So that is a game that will be a lot of fun next week between a pair of teams that are off to 2-0 starts in the track. We'll talk with Riverdale head coach Guy Dierks this morning to get a feel for what the vibe is around their program off to the first 2-0 start again since 2011 for them. Erie Provincetown goes on the road, picks up a win over Hull 19-7, so the Panthers off to a 2-0 start as well. And then Newman Central Catholic, they struggled with Mendota last night, coming off that win over Princeton a week ago, Newman did, but 35-18, Comets able to get the win on the road. That's a really interesting score because Mendota hung around with Riverdale last week, who we think is very good. We know Newman is very good. So Mendota now 0-2, but I think they must be much improved from last season to be able to hang around with Newman like they did last night. And then, like I said, didn't get blown out by Riverdale in week one. But on the flip side, I suppose that traditional kind of Newman style, when they were really, really good and winning all those state titles, it felt like, you know, they didn't really blow teams out a lot just with the style that they played. They just won games. So Newman is off to a 2-0 start. But Mendota, I think, will be interesting to track the rest of the season because it looks like they're much more competitive than they were back in the 2024 season where they went 0-9 a year ago. All right, it was definitely a fun night around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference last night, like it will be probably the next 7 weeks we get to play from weeks 3 through weeks 9. We'll tell you about our broadcast schedule for next week at the close of the program today, but we want to hear what our local head coaches have to say about week 2 around the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. We'll talk with Mercer County Coach Fred Lucas coming up here momentarily. We'll check in with Rockbridge's Sam Graves after that big win for the Rockets last night. Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire will join us this morning, as will Orange Chip Filler. And like we said, we'll check in with Riverdale head coach Guy Derrick this morning as well. Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We're back with Mercer County Coach Fred Lucas after this on WRMJ.
This is Dale Jones of Merit Auctions. Join me online Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m., when I will conduct a virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms. This is a great pre-harvest opportunity to add equipment to your operation for both fall use and next spring. There are many items that are low time and field ready, like a Brent 678 grain cart, a Harvest International Torpedo 1084 auger, and two very nice head carts, not to mention a Case IH 310 Magnum MFWD tractor, a Ford New Holland 8970 MFWD tractor, and a tremendous line of very nice tillage equipment. Also selling are other tractors, some livestock equipment, and many support items. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. For any questions, call me, Dale Jones, at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms, Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
We're back on Sportsline this morning inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We're joined in studio by Mercer County Golden Eagle head coach Fred Lucas. Mercer County now 1-1 after beating Sherrard last night 28-6 on the road. So, coach, just the Saturday morning feeling, I guess, coming off of a nice win and a pretty hotly contested game last night, evening up the record at 1-1.
Yeah, it's a good morning to be Golden Eagle today. So, yeah, we were able to bounce back and get a win at Sherrard last night and what was it since 2005, I think, since an Aledo school has played over there. So it was good to get out of there with a victory.
So tell us, just, you've had some time, I think, to review the film now and kind of reflect more so on the game that was played last night. Just your main takeaways from getting a win 28-6, where you really were able to, you know, pull away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and I think it comes down to, we were pretty resilient last night. There were some things that worked early and then didn't work, and then we got the fullback going, game going a little bit better in the second half, and, you know, we just kind of chipped away, and it was a testament to our kids and their efforts throughout the night.
We were talking with you pregame, and something that you said, you know, going into the game turned out to be like 100%, maybe 110% true, if that's even possible. As you said, you know, this is a game that both teams need to win. They're going to play like they need to win. They're going to basically scratch and claw to try to win. It's a rivalry game between two local schools. That all played out last night. You mentioned some of the extracurricular stuff. Just being able to come away in a win, or with a win in a game like that that was played last night. I mean, that was a pretty fun game to compete in, right?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, and that Sherrard team is a physical football team. They've got some guys that can get after it, and you know, they were relentless, and our guys had to make sure that we matched that throughout the course of the night. And you know, and it never did end until the final buzzer. You know, those kids played hard all night on both sides, and nobody quit till the end.
Well, we spoke last night about this, and I think maybe the biggest key for you with how the game, you know, ended up playing out is just being able to avoid being penalized, where there were, I think, 7 personal fouls called. Mercer County only had 1 assessed against them, which, you know, obviously helps a lot when you're not getting sucked into some of the post-whistle, post-tackle stuff that was going on last night. I mean, so for your end, I mean, just, I suppose, probably pretty proud of the kids not being able to have that happen, because when stuff like that does happen, it can be really detrimental, especially in a game last night that was closed for about 3 quarters.
Yeah, we don't want to get caught up in that part of the game, and to be honest, that one penalty we had is one too many, and we'll talk about that with the guys this week. But yeah, I'm proud of our guys and how they handled that how they handled that part of the game, and just kept their focus on executing on offense and defense and not getting caught up in any of the extracurriculars.
Well, we spoke with you coming into the season, how you felt like, you know, offensively with the new wing T system, it'll be a work in progress, and you'll see, you know, progress from week to week to week, where I thought a really nice step forward from week 1 to week 2, where you got stuff going a little bit good in the second half against Monmouth Roseville, but it felt like outside of really that first drive that was stalled pretty quickly, you moved the ball consistently well throughout the night last night. So what'd you like more maybe out of the offensive system this week than maybe you didn't see as much last week?
Well, the full, like I said, we kind of got the fullback going last week. It was one of our bright spots in that Monmouth game, and then we kind of continue that again this week. And it's one of those things that you kind of have to be patient with. You know, we're just kind of chipping away inside, and then that opens up some opportunities for us later, you know, in the option game. You know, we had Tannen Whitehall had a big touchdown on an option pitch, and then Mason was able to capitalize on a big play later in the game too, after being able to pound that fullback inside a little bit.
Yeah, so something you were talking about coming into the game and post-game last week too is you felt like maybe you threw a little bit too much too fast at the kids and were trying to scale back maybe on some of the play calling you were going to have to do in week 2. So, I mean, for you this week, you feel like that worked out pretty well in terms of trying to maybe simplify it for the kids a little bit early in the season?
Yeah, I think it definitely did. Like I said, we ran just a handful of plays last night out of a few formations, you know, something that the guys could be confident in what they were doing and know where they're lining up and what and where to go. And that's kind of really the essence of the wing T offense, and it's you know, foundation is that we're going to be simple, we're going to execute, we're going to carry out good fakes, and then we're going to capitalize on some things once we figure out where the how the other team's playing us.
Man, I really thought you did a good job of being able to get some of those kids with speed into space last night. We talked about a couple of the runs Tannen had. John Baldwin, 2 really strong touchdown runs from him from you know, distance as well. Mason Gray got to the edge a few times in that option play you were talking about. And I thought, you know, even like a kid like Logan Schreers had some really nice carries off the edge for you last night too. So speaking about being able to kind of get to the corner and turn it with the speed you have, I thought, you know, a much better job of being able to do that this week, because that feels like it's a, you know, definite strength that you got, especially with the backfield, the team speed you've got.
Yeah, and that all starts with our blocking at the edge. You know, when one back's carrying the ball at the edge, the other back is blocking at the perimeter. So it starts with good blocking with our backs and with our tight end Lucas Marston out there sealing the edge. And we, you know what, that their safety, that I believe it was a Zimmerman kid. You know, he come up, made a couple nice plays last night, and he's got some speed. And you know, we would have had a couple other plays if he hadn't made such good tackles.
Well, we spoke with you last week about kind of getting back into the rhythm of play calling for you for the first time at the varsity level, I think, in, you know, 8 or 9 years. So week two from week one for you, I guess, looking at yourself in the mirror, feel like you made an improvement too in that respect?
In a sense, yes, because I just simplified it. You know, I was trying to look for something fancy. We just kept running the same stuff over and over again. And then, you know, by doing that, you know, sometimes it looks like you're banging your head against the wall, but you're also trying to figure out, you know, what are the small adjustments that you need to make, or where's the guys that we missed. And you know, we did have a pretty good night offensively last night. It could have been better. When we go back and watch the film, there's a couple of plays where we're just, again, one other block away from springing something big. So as soon as we start to clean up some of those little issues, you know, we're going to continue to improve that offense.
Last night on the broadcast, I talked about how great of a sign it was, and I think, you know, your quarterback John Baldwin needed to have a nice bounce back performance. I thought he played really well last night, you know, both kind of controlling the offense. We talked about some of the run plays he was able to buzz for big gains, and then he threw a couple of nice balls, I thought, last night too. You know, mainly that was a big play early in the game, a third and long, and he connected with Lucas Marston for about 18 yards to move the chains. I believe that ended up on a touchdown, on a drive that ended up with a touchdown. So I mean, for him, obviously last week was a rough opener, but able to kind of put that behind him and take a step forward. I thought he played really well last night for
him. Yeah, John does, and he's you know, improving every week with this offense. He's a smart kid, and he's adapting well, and he's always bringing some ideas, you know, back to the sideline in between plays. And the one thing that I can do to probably help him a little bit, you know, and is call the pass plays when we don't need to throw. So that's one thing that I need to improve on a little bit, and I got caught up. And he did complete some pretty nice balls last night. You know, and actually his first touchdown run was a broken play. You know, it was supposed to go left and kind of jammed up. And when you got a kid on the field with his speed, you know, good things like that can happen. So we try to get him out in space and you know, call plays for the timing of it for the pass. It's going to help him a lot.
Well, defensively, didn't give up any points on that side of the ball. The only score that Sherrard had was on a kickoff return. So, basically, from, you know, start to finish last night, did a good job of kind of bending and not breaking. They moved the ball decently well at times, but never were able to get into the end zone, or I don't think ever got into the red zone either, inside the 20. So, defensively, just the steps forward last night. What'd you like on that side of the ball?
Yeah, Coach Russell had a pretty good game plan going for us last night, and you know, we started out with a game plan that worked well, and then as we got into the second half and knew that they were going to try to need some big plays, we kind of adjusted still. And I guess the biggest thing is we tackled pretty well. Watching the film, you know, there are a few times, again, Carter Brown's a tough kid to tackle in space, but and their fullback was a big, strong kid that usually carried a few guys. But overall, we tackled a lot better, and we just had our guys in spots to make plays.
So you were missing one of your, you know, guys up front. Carter Dale was out sick, I think, last night. So he's a kid who plays a lot of downs on both sides of the ball for you normally. So up front, what'd you think of the performance from those guys last night? And then in terms of just the conditioning of being able to play, you know, most of them both sides of the ball for all night, was that better, you know, last night, you think, than maybe last week?
Yeah, I mean, especially for the kind of urgency that we had in putting that offensive line together. You know, we had to throw Garrett Borff in there and did a nice job playing that guard who has usually been our backup tackle. And then we moved JJ Smock to the other side to kind of get a little bit better matchup there. So, you know, we threw an offensive line out there where we had two guys playing spots that they had technically not played before, and did a pretty decent job, you know. And defensively the same thing too. We're getting into better rotation. You know, we moved Cooper Lambkin down inside to try to take advantage of his aggressiveness and his the motor that he's got going, and then that gives us a little deeper rotation for those four guys down there to keep them fresh.
Coming into the game, we were speaking about how important the game felt for both teams, you know, who were 0-1 trying to get to 1-1, as, you know, wins are just so hard to come by, and, you know, you really got to earn them. So getting that first one last night, how big does it feel, you know, seeing 1-1 on the record ledger instead of 0-2.
Yeah, you could kind of get that monkey off your back, so to speak. But I mean, every game's important, you know, whether you're, you know, whether you're 6-0 or whether you're 0-1, you know, each game each week, especially in this Three Rivers Conference, you know, it's pretty tough sledding there. And you know, but yeah, to get one back in the win column and get these guys some confidence rolling into this next week, definitely a star advantage.
Another big game coming up with Orion on Friday night, where it's going to be played at George Pratt Memorial Field. Both teams at 1-1, so it feels like, you know, another game where both teams coming in feel like the winner will put themselves in a pretty good spot, and then the team that loses will have, you know, quite a bit of work to do talking about trying to get to that 5-win mark next week. So just, I mean, how big does this one feel next week with Orion?
Yeah, like I said, it's every week, and you know, like I said, they're trying to gain some momentum too. They've been playing pretty well, you know, this year, and the filler kid's a really good quarterback, and you know, they're in a situation just like us where, if, you know, if we can get to that 2-1 mark, that makes the next game just a little bit better for us.
All right, just as we wrap up with you, we'll talk a little bit about Orion here, but we'll, you know, save most of the preview for later in the week. You know, the one thing interesting about this matchup is defensively, you have faced so far two teams that run the ball at you, run the ball at you, run the ball at you, don't really spread it out at all, where Orion runs a lot of 4 wide receiver, 5 wide receiver sets and throw, you know, 30, 40, sometimes 50-plus passes a game. So first time your secondary will be tested, you know, consistently in the passing game. So just the difference this week in preparation on that side of the ball to get ready for a much different look than you've seen the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a roller coaster for us defensively because we spend a lot of the summer, you know, working on our coverages and our 7-on-7 defense and things like that. And then rolling into these first 2 weeks, you know, with run heavy teams, we kind of get away from that just a little bit in that game specific prep during the week. But yeah, now it's going to shift gears and go to the completely other side. And we're going to have to make sure that not only are we good at getting in our coverages and defending the pass, but also try to do some things to get some pressure on the quarterback to make it easier for those guys on the defensive backfield.
All right, Mercer County, Coach Fred Lucas joining us this morning on Sportsline. The Golden Eagles are 1-1 after beating Sherrard last night, 28-6. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you later in the week getting ready for the matchup with Orion. Thanks, Coach.
Yep, you bet, Ty. Thanks
a lot. All right, Coach Lucas, appreciate the time. Coming up next, we'll talk with Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves. Big win for the Rockets coming from behind to knock off Princeton on the road last night, 36-29. We'll also talk this morning with Riverdale head coach Guy Dierks, recapping their win over Kewaunee last night. Then Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire will join us, and we'll wrap up the morning talking with the head coach of the Orion Chargers, Chip Filler. Sports Slide from inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. We'll come back and hear from Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves after this on WRMJ.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka, lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. A big win for the Rock Ridge Rockets on the road last night, defeating the Princeton Tigers by a final score of 36-29. Rockets rally from 14 down in the second half to win on the road. So Coach Graves, will start by just speaking about the overall feeling post-game last night as you come away with a really fun and dramatic comfort-behind win in the final minute.
Yeah, it was fun for the guys. I told them in the post-game huddle that it was a fantastic job because there towards the end of the first half, I was kind of actually disappointed with you know, some of our attitudes, and it seemed like maybe we had some guys starting to check out a little bit. They were real tired, asking to come off the field, and, you know, we kind of challenged them there at halftime. And we saw none of that in the second half. I mean, I the change was actually kind of dramatic, and I was super proud of the guys for that. That the mental toughness really showed through, and they were willing to kind of dig deep. And I think there was a big satisfaction for the guys after that game that they were able to pull that out. And that's what I told them. I said, you guys, we're going to go look at film and see our mistakes and see what went on and see what happened in the field. And the good thing is that we made a ton of mistakes. We know there's a ton to get better with, but we still pulled out a win. And I said, if we can keep getting better and worry about getting ourselves better each week, I said, you guys can be a dangerous team because you pull out a win against a very, very good team, and we know we made a lot of mistakes. So that's the good thing.
Well, yeah, that's another thing talking about last night, you know, just kind of tracking that game. So you score first to get in front 7-0, allow the ensuing kickoff to be returned for a touchdown, now trailing 8-7 after they get the two-point conversion. And you didn't lead again until there were 45 seconds left in the game. So being able to kind of overcome all of that where it felt like, you know, there was maybe some momentum shifting to their side, being down by two scores, coming back to win, like we said, just, I mean, speak about being able to overcome all of that last night.
Yeah, that was there's a lot of deflating moments. It really was. The momentum was all over that game. Like you said, you go down, score, and the thing was that we actually, how they aligned defensively, we actually took the first play. Colin took it for a touchdown. It was like a 60 or 70 yard touchdown run, very first play, and it got called back. Then we were able to march and still score on the first drive. And you know, I think the guys were feeling pretty good about that. And we kind of moved the ball, both running the ball and throwing. And, you know, then they just take the kickoff back right away and score it. And it's deflating, and all of a sudden they had the momentum. But you know, that's the good thing, is the guys never gave up. They never quit. And I told them, you know, that had the feel of like a, not just a playoff game, but like a quarterfinal playoff game. There were a lot of intense moments. You know, they had a huge crowd there, and there were moments where the guys felt really down and out of it, and they were able to fight. And that's the thing we were really proud of, is that the moment never got away from them. Even though it kind of seemed like momentum wasn't with us at times, they never let it get away from them, and they kept fighting.
Well, following the game too last night, when Princeton went up two scores in the third quarter, or at least for me, I was worried just because of the way that they play, you know, traditionally since they've been on this great run, is they just pound the ball at you in offense, are able to really control the clock. And then defensively, they've just been so good over the years too, in limiting big plays and limiting points for the opponent. So how were you able to come back from down 14 in the second half to beat Princeton on the road last night? What were some of the key ingredients for you after they went up 14 to be able to chip away and eventually pull it out late?
The guys did a great job responding defensively. You know, that was the huge key, is we were able to dig down deep, and the guys took some coaching. And I kind of laughed about that in the huddle last night. I said, some of you did a fantastic job responding to us because we challenged them at halftime. And I said, some of you got challenged on the sideline. Some of you got coached up calmly. Some of you got talked to. Some of you got ripped on a little bit, but everyone responded. And, you know, it just a great job, you know, defensively. I think there were some things going on I'm not kidding you. There was probably 10 or 15 new plays and things that they did that they hadn't shown on film. And some of it caught us early. We had to burn some timeouts early with some new formations. They did like a bunch of swinging gate stuff and trick formations. And we had to burn some timeouts just to try to align correctly. And we were scrambling a little bit there. And the guys really settled down. Again, they were willing to take the coaching and just did a fantastic job responding in the second half, adjusting defensively, and really there the last quarter and a half, quarter really shut the door on Princeton defensively. And I'm, you know, just proud of the guys, the way they dug in, because you could tell Princeton started getting tired, and we were able to start all of a sudden, you know, kind of gashing and moving the ball, running the ball as well as throwing. I think they kind of made some adjustments, and they were worried about us throwing the ball. And so they started, you know, backing up and bailing some of their linebackers deep to the middle of the field to help out. And we were able to start gashing them, running the ball. So it's just really good job by our guys. Again, just, I can't say enough how proud we are the way they just, you know, fought there in the second half and had some huge stops defensively to allow us to score.
Talk to us about the game-winning drive. You go on the game tied at 29. You end up scoring with 45 seconds left on the clock on a 3-yard touchdown run by Cullen Schweigen to put the Rockets up for good and get a lead for the first time since the brief lead you had in the first quarter. So tell us about that game-winning drive. Just kind of walk us through. Must have went pretty well if you end up in the end zone.
Yeah, it actually was a huge chunk play. We got the ball back. I think we had a tough decision. There was around 3 or 4 minutes left, and we actually had the ball around midfield, and I don't remember exactly what happened, but something bad happened, and so we ended up getting behind the chains, and it was a fourth down and just decided to punt because our defense again had all of a sudden turned the page, and we adjusted to a couple of things formation wise and how we were aligned and what we were reading and doing. So all of a sudden we felt a lot better with how things were going defensively. So we punted it and Tanner Dye had a great punt. He punted it down to the 1 yard line. And I think, you know, they had a couple, I think maybe like 2 or 3 yards on the first play. And then we, you know, back-to-back plays, we stuff them and they punt. So again, defensively, nice job getting us the ball right back with probably, you know, a minute 45, 2 minutes left on the clock. And then, you know, right away, Cullen just puts a dime in the corner of the defense where Liam, you know, made a great, like, diving, jumping catch and held on the ball when he hit the ground. And it, right away in one play, we were clear down inside the 10. So, you know, we were able to take a little bit of time on the clock and run a couple plays. We got, you know, had a big, I want to say we got down to the 7 or 8 yard line, but I don't know that for sure. And the first play was a big, like probably 5 or 6 yard chunk run down to the 2 or 3 yard line. And we were able to run Cullen in. So, you know, it just, again, the guys really responded well.
Yeah, so what about just the play you got from Cullen Schweigen last night? I saw, you know, he accounts for 5 more touchdowns, and when you play teams like Princeton on the road in games of the magnitude you played last night, you need your top guys to come through and perform, and there's no doubt that Cullen had another great night last night. So just, I mean, what did you see out of him last night? It looked like just another kind of typical performance for him.
Yeah, he had to dig down deep, and that was his first game also playing the whole game defensively, and he didn't let being tired affect him, and he was still that leader out there for us. You know, I think he'll be the first one to admit he made a couple mistakes defensively too, but he learned and he got better. He's just a special kid with the ball in his hands at quarterback. Just some of the throws he put in there was unbelievable the past couple of weeks. You know, I think he wanted some throws back from the first half. He was kind of disappointed with the way things started. But he sure responded, man. He's a load. That kid is just incredible. And the funny thing is that with the as good as a game as he had, like I said, he could have had another 70 or 80 yard rushing and a touchdown on those stats, because the very first play of the game, he took it, took it to the house, broke a tackle and it got called back on him. So that's that kid's something else. And we're sure glad he's our quarterback, that's for sure.
I'm sure you are. So you turn the page now to another game in week three that looks to be against a really strong opponent in Riverdale, who's off to a 2-0 start. They thumped Kewaunee last night 54-7. So as you turn the page now, getting ready for week three, just tell us about the feeling going into Riverdale and what you know about them so far, a team that looks much improved in 2025.
Yeah, this is going to be, you know, a tough one. It's kind of crazy. It's already here. It's week three and it's our homecoming already. So it's a really early one this year for us. So right away, you know, as a coach, of course, you always are worried about the distractions and everything going on there. But, you know, we need to come ready because there's no doubt they're riding high right now. They had a great start to their season here you know, Kewaunee's a tough team. They always have great athletes. They always have tough, hard-nosed kids. They're always going to have some size. So, you know, to be able to thump them right away like that, like Riverdale did, means Riverdale's, you know, got to be legit. And that's what we told the guys is, hey, enjoy this in the weekend. You know, be smart, enjoy it together. Have a great time with your friends, family, smile. But we need to come ready to work and definitely not think too highly of ourselves being able to pull that one out, because we have a lot we need to fix. And then we got a great team coming into town on Friday and they have a lot of momentum on their side. So we know this is going to be just another, again, in our conference, just another battle right away for us.
All right, Grock Ridge head coach Sam Graves joining us on WRMJ this morning. I appreciate the time, coach. Awesome win last night. We'll talk to you later in the week. Enjoy homecoming, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I hope the guys do, and they come ready to work. We appreciate the time.
All right, we're back with more on WRMJ after this.
Attention farmers and growers, are you ready to take your operation to the next level? Diamond Ag is your go-to source for premium seeds and expert agricultural support. Their carefully selected seed companies are the cornerstone for your success. Diamond Ag is with you every step of the way, from planting to harvest. Don't miss the opportunity to boost your profits. Contact Brian Brooks at Diamond Ag for any of your seed needs. Diamond Ag, locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville.
This is Dale Jones of Merit Auctions. Join me online Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m., when I will conduct a virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms. This is a great pre-harvest opportunity to add equipment to your operation for both fall use and next spring. There are many items that are low time and field ready, like a Brent 678 grain cart, a Harvest International Torpedo 1084 auger, and two very nice head carts, not to mention a Case IH 310 Magnum MFWD tractor, a Ford New Holland 8970 MFWD tractor, and a tremendous line of very nice tillage equipment. Also selling are other tractors, some livestock equipment, and many support items. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. For any questions, call me, Dale Jones, at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms, Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, taking a look around the rest of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference. A really nice win on Friday night by Riverdale. They put it to Kewaunee on the road, 54-7, to get to 2-0 on the season. So Riverdale coach Guy Dierks, tell us, you know, about the performance last night. I think a really big step forward for you from week one to week two, beating Kewaunee by 40-plus points. So sound like everything went right for you last night?
Oh, man, yeah, it did. You know, our kit from the very beginning, you know, kind of took the kickoff back and you know, some good, some major yards there from Lucas Dunbar. And then we had the opportunity, you know, we had to kind of battle back. It ended up being like first and 20, but our kids stayed locked in and mentally focused. And kind of from there, after that point, we really didn't look back very much. Just, you know, it was a great team win, you know, offensively, defensively, special teams wise. And our kids were locked in and focused and ready to, you know, kind of, you know, hopefully send a little bit of a message, you know, that we're here and you know, we want to be competitive.
Well, you went 4-5 last year, came up just short of a playoff spot with kind of a heartbreaking, really close loss in week 8 to Hall a year ago. So kind of having that sour taste in your mouth from the end of last season, a lot of kids back from that team that you know, came up just short of getting Riverdale back to the postseason. How much has that been, I guess, inspiration has that given you?
Oh, a ton. You know, not just me, obviously, it's the whole team. And, that, you know, really kind of that's been our battle cry this week of trying to make sure and control the things that we can control. You know, in my 10 years as a head coach here, I've never beaten Kewaunee. And so, you know, I didn't tell that to the kids, but, you know, really a statement from them and wanting to come out and control and, you know, just played their tails off on all sides of the ball tonight.
Well, yeah, how big of a win does it feel like, not just in terms of the big result, in terms of the point differential at the end of the night, but, you know, this is a game that you lost last year that you competed well in, and you knew coming into the year that if you wanted to get to the playoffs, you had to at least turn one of those losses from last year into a win. So you do that in week two to get to 2-0 with the win over Kewaunee. So how big of a win did it feel like for the program in last night's game?
Awesome. I can't tell you the last time that you know, we've had two, you know, save, you know, Ace did a great job. He's a great running back and does a great job, but save a long touchdown run from him. I mean, back-to-back games of you know, 0 points and then only one touchdown, you know, and then being able to put up, I can't remember the last time or if I've ever put up 50 points here at Riverdale. And so, the opportunity for those kids to just go out and execute. I mean, all cylinders were clicking, and it was huge.
Well, can you speak to just, you know, the story of the Riverdale program? We've talked about it a little bit with you before, where you go from, you know, just basically 3 years ago having to miss out on a season due to just, I think, 18 kids at the time out. Now you're up to, I think, upwards of 50. I think you told me 54 preseasons, how many kids you had out. A lot of talent, a lot of excitement, off to a 2-0 start. So how were you able to get to this point, from that point where, you know, I'm sure at the time there wasn't really maybe a lot of hope externally, but internally maybe there was. But, I mean, getting to this point now where obviously there's still work to do. But, I mean, just speak about the journey to get back to this competitive level of football at Riverdale.
You know, to be able to have that opportunity to ride this wave, you know, the community, the administration, what we went through over these last 5 years has been nothing short of a roller coaster. And so the opportunity to kind of be a part of this and really, you know, when we discussed what it was going to take and look like, you know, we had a community meeting and we packed our cafeteria. There were over 100 people there, alumni, you know, people that were coming up in the program and were in the program at that time, and just kind of discussed, you know, hey, here's where we're at. You know, I've taken over a few different programs that were 0-9 in years past. And so, you know, I've been there before. This is what we need. And just, I've said it a few times. I mean, tip of the cap to the community for buying in, for working. You know, we've kind of talked a lot about working in the dark, right? That we don't quite see those results that maybe we wanted, early on, but sticking with it and knowing and just loving that process of, you know, we're a big farming community and planting those seeds. And eventually, you know, when you plant those seeds that, it, you know, those plants are going to grow. And so at this point in time, you know, our kids have continued to work their tails off and did what they've asked them to do without much, you know, response. And you know, to get so close last year and for those seniors, you know, it was a great opportunity for them to see what they've built off of, but now we want to take it that one step further.
Well, last year we spoke with you a lot about the growth that you saw in the program from 2023 to 2024. I know it's early in 2025, but how much growth do you feel like you've seen from last season to this season early on through 2 weeks?
You know, it's these kids, a lot of them have been starting for the last 3 years, you know, at the varsity level. And so, you know, we've got, you know, it's like we're playing with a bunch of red shirt seniors out there, you know, really the opportunity that they've had to grow and be a part of that program and get used to game speed. You know, now we're the upper class team and to have that opportunity, that growth from year to year, but from week to week, you know, we felt like we grew a lot from last week to this week. And to have that opportunity is it's just great to be a part of, you know, to to feel like you're making a little bit of a difference in the kids' lives and have those opportunities to show them what hard work can do is a great thing.
And just for you, obviously, being a Riverdale grad, you've been around Riverdale football for a long time. What's the vibe been like so far this season? I know seeing you last year, you got some really good crowds later into the year when you were fighting for a playoff spot. So, I mean, just early on, what's kind of the vibe been from the community over there? I'm sure you've, you know, really picked up some support with the win starting to stack up for you.
Yeah, I mean, this community has been hungry for a successful football team for a long time. And so they are doing everything that they possibly can to support us. I mean, we have last night at our team dinner, we've had a few families that have kind of helped volunteer to set this up, but we had alumni that graduated. I won't say the year because I promised them I wouldn't tell the year that they graduated, but you know, they had kids that went to school with me. And so they're coming back and want to be a part of it and understand how important football is just a game, but the lessons that you can learn through the game of football and apply to life later on is definitely one of those big parts that that people want to be a part of and help every one of these kids now see that and experience that and do as best as they can.
Well, man, next week should be a pretty fun experience for you and the kids. 2-0 Riverdale playing on the road at 2-0 and state-ranked Rock Ridge in the first week of divisional play in the track. So, I mean, getting to play in a game of that magnitude, what's the feeling like that? I know it's still a week out for you, but that should be a pretty fun and a really big-time game early in the season for you next week.
Oh, absolutely. You know, playing meaningful games is what it's all about. And to be at this point now where, you know, we're saying Riverdale up 2-0 seems like a far-fetched idea from 3 years ago, but it's an awesome opportunity that we're just so excited to be a part. And, you know, state ranked, you know, if you want to have those opportunities, I mean, we feel like our conference is so dang tough that if you can get out of it, then you're going to be battle tested and be able to, you know, make some noise in the playoffs. And so this is just another one of those tests and opportunities for us to go out there and show what we've done and have an opportunity to, you know, go against some of the top teams in the state.
And so off to a 2-0 start, and you mentioned there kind of the level of competition that you see around the conference this year. And that's the last thing that, you know, I want to ask you about is just how much of a grind the year looks like it's going to be week in and week out. You know, you get off to a great start at 2-0, but there are still some, you know, really good and high quality teams you still have to play on the schedule. So, I mean, just give us kind of a brief overview or maybe some observations of the conference so far, as you know, there's been a lot of good games already, and I think there'll be a lot more competitive games the rest of the regular season.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm going to give you a little bit of coach talk here, but you know, the opportunity, we can't look past, you know, week to week and just go out there and prepare as best as we can. But yeah, taking notice of the scores and, you know, what Rock Ridge did, you know, last night is definitely crazy. And so be interested to see that film and what they were able to put together. You know, Erie Provincetown, watching them on film from Kewaunee, they're back and hungry. And so there's a lot of schools that definitely, you know, from week to week, you have to be ready to play. And if not, you know, we learned that last year. You're just kind of a young team growing up and understanding, hey, you know, we were that close and you got to go out there and make it happen. It's nothing's going to be easy in this conference. If you want to try and move on and get out and represent it, then you got to be ready to go week to week.
Yeah, and I guess just one more thing, I guess, now is that, you know, you're kind of in a unique spot at Riverdale, obviously, like we've talked about, where you're 2-0 for the first time in more than a decade, and you're coming off, you know, a 40-plus point win in week two over a Kewaunee program who's had, you know, some success the last 3 or 4 years. So with that change and kind of where you're at right now and the kids kind of seeing this level of success for the first time, how do you maybe change the message to try to keep them, you know, focused, I suppose, as they've seen the success where it's a little bit different of a feeling now? So is that something you're trying to hammer home to them?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to enjoy that process and, you know, our message this week and, you know, from a coach of mine when I was in high school, is you have to remember where you're from and understanding these opportunities didn't just, you know, present themselves because we showed up in August or, you know, just showed up this year. You feel like it's been a part that's been growing for a long time. And in order to appreciate where you're at now, you have to remember where you're from and know that those opportunities are few and far between sometimes. And so when you're here, ride that wave, but also understand that, you know, we're doing this for a community, for a lot of different people that have put a lot of time and effort into it before us, and want to continue to shed that light on them and their opportunities and their sacrifices that they put in to now hopefully keep moving forward and week to week have more and more opportunities to represent our community with dignity and pride and commitment.
Riverdale head coach Guy Dierks joining us on Sportsline. Rams 2-0, a 54-7 win over Kewaunee last night in week two, getting set for a matchup with Rock Ridge on Friday night. Coach, appreciate the time, man. Great start to the season. We'll talk to you down the road.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Building relationships, supporting the community, and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Now at 6140RUN, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140RUN. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. It is Dan McGuire, the head coach of the Sherrard Tigers, joining us now. Tigers come up short, falling to Mercer County at home last night, 28-6. So, you know, Coach McGuire, you've had a night to sleep it off and kind of, I guess, reflect on the matchup last night. So just, you know, main takeaways from coming up short to Mercer County last night this morning.
Well, I think from our first game to the second game, we showed a lot of improvement. You know, we worked all week on getting off the ball and being more aggressive. Kids were certainly that. So I'm proud of that effort. We've got to clean some things up. Certainly, penalties killed us. And, you know, I've got to do a better job coaching and calling a game and focusing on getting us better.
Yeah, that's something we talked about last night, was just how much the penalties hurt. We talked about the statistics, 9 for 111 yards, I believe, you know, 6 personal fouls that all felt like they came at really, really inopportune times, whether it extended drives or kind of killed drives of your own or took away a couple of big plays. So just speaking about the emphasis there, I mean, with that, what's the message moving forward trying to avoid falling into that again next week?
Well, I think, you know, some of those penalties were, you know, being aggressive and, you know, unnecessary roughness and so on. We trying to teach the kids to play through the play until the whistle, and they did that. So I'm proud of that effort. You know, we've got to learn just to play ball, you know, between the whistles and know when to celebrate in the huddle rather than right after a big play that you make or make a big hit and, you know, start to celebrate too soon. So, you know, it went both ways. Unfortunately, we were the ones holding the bag last night with the calls, and we've just got to clean that up, keep playing hard, getting off the ball, and doing what we can do. You know, my focus and our focus has to be on what we can do, and not concern ourselves with the other team or the officials or things like that. You know, everybody's got their own perspective of things, and the perspective that matters is the officials, and that's what they're paid to do.
Well, we talked about it last night, and one thing that I was really impressed with Sherrard was just how hard your kids played. And I think that's, you know, step one of trying to turn things around is, you know, you have to have the kids that are there to buy in and play hard for four quarters. And without a doubt, you know, the 11 kids you had on the field at all times were playing really, really hard last night. And like you said, you know, maybe some of the penalties you could do without, maybe there was some poor execution at times. But just the effort, I think, for me at least, watching, you know, from basically a neutral view was positive. Did you take that away last night too?
Absolutely. You know, that's something we again worked on all week, was trying to be more physical and aggressive. And the kids did that. We just have to learn how to contain that in our emotions. Concentrate on what we're able to control and the kids responded, you know, from, like I stated, from the first game to the second game, they got off the ball. I thought they executed much better. The backs ran harder. Now the linemen did a better job up front as well on both sides of the ball. So, you know, it's hard to play football when you're tentative or passive. So, you know, the first thing you have to do is be able to get off the ball and make contact with people rather than receiving it like we did the first week.
Well, I thought offensively, definitely a marked improvement from, you know, week one to week two in terms of the numbers. Of course, you racked up nearly 200 yards of total offense. I think 8 first downs last night, as opposed to just 2 or 3 in week one against Rock Ridge. It's a new system, like we talked about coming into the season. So, I mean, did you feel like you took a step forward with the offensive performance, even without playing with Carter Brown for most of the night last night?
You know, that certainly hurt losing some key players. He's an excellent athlete and leader. But, you know, I think we took some steps. Unfortunately, with our limited numbers and injuries and so on, we're going to have to reassess things this week, because I know we've got a really tough opponent coming up again. And, you know, we just have to assess where we're at and try to figure out how we can best perform next week now.
And on the defensive side of things for you last night, it felt like, you know, some of those big plays Mercer County was able to bust. It felt like you had some kids in the spot that maybe they were a half step slow getting there to the hole, or maybe just unable to make the tackle in the open field that kind of led to some of those big touch runs for the Golden Eagles. So overall, defensively, you give up 28 points last night. What'd you make of the defensive effort for the Tigers on the field in week two?
Well, I thought we did a lot of good things. Obviously, with some misdirection and option play, when you're defending the option, it's assignment football. So everybody has a spot and a person that they're responsible for. And if one person takes an errant step, you know, it can cost you. And it did cost us last night.
Well, and looking at last night too, and something we've talked about, you know, coming into the season and throughout the year so far is just, you know, the numbers issue that you're fighting. And when you see a couple of kids who were two-way starters go down, that means even more kids have to play every snap for you. So I suppose with that, how much of a challenge is it to be able to, you know, compete for four quarters and try to keep kids fresh when you have so many kids who are forced into playing both ways because you just really don't have the numbers to be able to give very many breathers?
Well, it certainly has an impact on their performance. You know, I credit our kids. They kept fighting even as tired or, you know, some of them were getting the cramps and different things like that impacted their efforts and that. But it certainly has an impact, you know, and that's something that as a program has to develop, start getting more kids out and those that are out, you know, do the things in the off season as far as conditioning, lifting and things so that they're ready to go as well. So, you know, again, I'm proud of our kids. You know, I'm here to help them. And as a coaching staff, we're going to continue to get after it. And kids are showing up right now because we've got shakeout here at 8:00. So, you know, we just have to be resilient and keep coming back and trying to get better.
Talk to us about your backup quarterback, sophomore Quinn Zimmerman, who came into the game when Carter got hurt. I thought he performed pretty, you know, admirably, especially when you factor in him basically just kind of coming in, you know, cold, playing varsity quarterback for the first time. So what did you think of his performance as he kind of got thrust into playing varsity football last night after the injury?
Yeah, Quinn's a great kid. You know, he did get a few snaps the first game, played Monday night in the JV game and did a nice job there. And you know, it's a tough spot to come in. And, you know, all the other positions, sometimes you can sort of ease your way in and sometimes go unnoticed by people. But at quarterback, you're handling the football every down. It's a central part. Everything revolves around that. And I thought Quinn did a nice job, certainly with Carter out at that point. You know, we had to limit some of the things that we were able to do, which, you know, hurt us a little bit. But again, I thought he held his own out there.
Well, certainly another challenging opponent, like you alluded to earlier, with Princeton coming to town in week three. So just what's the focus moving forward, getting ready for another tough matchup next week?
Well, I think the focus is just trying to regroup, assess where we're at, looking at injuries and trying to heal some people. And you know, last week was a little challenging. We had illnesses. I don't know if you can tell, I've got a pretty good cold going as well. And so some illnesses and injuries. And one kid, we moved into a new position, a sophomore. We moved into a new position on Wednesday that he'd never played before. And I thought he stepped up and did well. So it's going to be another week like that, I think, trying to reassess where we're at physically as well as, you know, our next opponent, and trying to regroup and be ready to go Friday night.
All right, Sherrard head coach Dan McGuire joining us on WRMJ. Tigers come up short last night falling to Mercer County 28-6 at home. Coach, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you later in the week, man. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
This is Dale Jones of Merit Auctions. Join me online Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m., when I will conduct a virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms. This is a great pre-harvest opportunity to add equipment to your operation for both fall use and next spring. There are many items that are low time and field ready, like a Brent 678 grain cart, a Harvest International Torpedo 1084 auger, and two very nice head carts, not to mention a Case IH 310 Magnum MFWD tractor, a Ford New Holland 8970 MFWD tractor, and a tremendous line of very nice tillage equipment. Also selling are other tractors, some livestock equipment, and many support items. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. For any questions, call me, Dale Jones, at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms, Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
Back on Sportsline this morning on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, talking now with Orion Charger head football coach Chip Filler. Chargers fall to Monmouth Roseville on the road last night, 48-28. So, Coach Filler, just start takeaways and kind of main viewpoints from the loss last night to the Titans, where it got away from me in the second half.
Well, you know, we talked to you in the pregame, and, you know, we were going to play on the perimeter and they were going to play in the trenches. Unfortunately, as all football and old football players or coaches or fans will know, the game is won up front and in the trenches. And, you know, we just couldn't withstand their size. And they just really got to us at the end. You know, we're probably giving up 100 pounds easily per man up front compared to them. They're a really good football team. You know, we knew we'd have a hard time stopping them just because of the size and how what their scheme is offensively. Defensively, you know, Jeremy did a great job of, you know, giving Kale a little different looks, giving us both a different look. And they're really long and they're really fast defensively, and they combine that with a good scheme, made it really tough for us. But, you know, it's 35-21, you know, midway through the third. We have them third and long. We get made, you know, they run a lead and they get about 18 yards. There might have made a big questionable call or questionable, you know, non-call over there. But, you know, I don't know that it mattered too much. But we had our opportunity there. And I think if we could have got them off the field, you know, who knows, got a little momentum there. But I was really excited about how our kids fought, especially coming out of half. You know, they didn't give up. They actually played a lot harder and a lot better there in the second half. So it was first half, I'll tell you, there's a lot of key players on our team that had a lot of deer in the headlight look. I mean, we think we're a good team, and this we're playing a really good team on the road, a playoff team. And you could tell that they were quite ready for the lights. But in the second half, all of our guys, I think, decided that, hey, you know, this is football. We can kind of compete here, and then they did that.
I want to speak a little bit more about the defensive side of things for you last night. Like we said, gave up 48 points. I think they had two separate kids rush for over 100 yards against you, and you mentioned just the size you give up front. So, I mean, defensively, I think you knew coming in it was going to be a challenge trying to compete with them, slowing them down. So, I mean, overall, just what'd you make of the defensive performance? I know you really liked what you saw for the most part in week one, especially in the second half. So just, I guess, take stock of where you're at defensively through 2 weeks now.
Well, schematically, we're fine. You know, I mean, even their backs, I would just look at the two running backs that they had. We had their fullback ran for over 200 yards on us, but he's as big as a guard for us. I mean, he would be bigger than our guards. And then Houston's big. He'd be a lineman for us as well. And it's hard for our little guys. And then I shouldn't say little guys, but our guys to bring them down. So, you know, defensively, in the back end, I thought our secondary was good. I mean, easily, because they only threw two passes, you know, so that's not that big a deal. Played well there, but they came up and tackled really well. I think Owen had a ton of tackles, which you don't want your free safety doing that. But I thought those guys tackled well. Linebackers at times, our inside backers, did a really good job, but not as consistent as what we'd like. Max Larson, again, on the outside as an outside backer, tremendous night. He was always on the weak side of their big jumbo set, and they would come back with their GT coming back at him. And I don't know how many countless times he made plays over there. It's almost to the fact that we couldn't move him because we were scared if we moved him to the front side of it, that play coming back would go for about 80 yards. But made them put plays together. Again, they're a really good football team. They can put – I think they had 10, 12 play drives almost every time, so it wasn't like – We're giving up big runs. I think probably the longest run they had was probably on 18, maybe 25. I don't think they really ever took one deeper than that. So really, it was okay. I can sleep well at night knowing that we at least made them put plays together, and we're getting better on that side of the ball every snap. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, you know, take your starters out. Well, we have to pull. We got to get our guys and get them ready to go, because man, we've got a tough stretch down the road, and we got to find four wins here. So our guys have to be up and ready to play, and we're taking that second half as just a learning curve, and I felt like they did that. Now we'll see what happens, right? You never lose, you only learn, and we got to make sure that we have learned from this week going forward.
offensively for you. I know 28 more points, find the end zone four times in the loss last night. I believe you returned a kick for a touchdown last night too. So walk us through what you saw on the offensive side of things last night. I think a pretty good night again in terms of production. You know, you got to like putting up 28 points.
Yeah. Again, the scheme that they've ran against us, they took the ball out of Cale's hands and, you know, kind of limited Owen. Like when you drop eight guys into coverage and you can get there with three dudes, that makes it really tough, you know, on us to do what we'd like to do. Now, I'll say this, Griffin Tennant had another good game, but it's hard to run the football when now you're down two scores or you're getting down three scores and trying to make a comeback. So, I mean, that is stuff that we're going to have to correct. We know that that's how what people are going to do to us. You know, we've got to find a way to make sure we're staying in the game and being able to run the ball. You know, Owen is just dynamic. You know, they had a turnover. We got a short field. I think we run a counter play to Owen. Owen ends up in the end zone 31 yards. They take the lead 14-7. They're not kicking him the ball. They're kicking it on the ground. Well, the kid kicked it too hard. It rolled right to him, and he ran it back on him. I don't even know if we even had a return on, to be honest with you. Everybody was just scattered. So that put him, I mean, he was 12th in the state already in kick returns. So now you add that one, I don't know where he jumps up to. And then, you know, we get a great kick coming out of half, a little wedge shot by our kicker. He kicks it down to the 35, hits his mark perfect, and the ball just dies and kicks back to Max, and we recover it. You know, we get a short field again there and go ahead and score. And then finally, you know, in the fourth quarter, we get something going offensively in our passing game. And, you know, Max Larson did a great job receiving. So we're hoping that we've found another receiver that we can count on. But, yeah, we'll get back on the things. And, you know, we're going to shore some things up front, you know, make sure that we're protecting Cale a little bit better. And Cale's going to get out of his funk. He's in a little bit of a he's going through some things right here, but all good quarterbacks do that. And I know some people will be upset that I've, you know, calling him out, but he's tough enough to take it that, you know, hey, if I hear Coach Filler saying something to me about me on the radio that I need to play better, I can tell you he's having a good week of preparation. He's tough enough that he knows that's what he's got to do. So, and he'll do that, and he'll be a better quarterback next week, I promise.
All right, Coach Filler, let's look ahead to next week here briefly. We'll preview this game more, obviously, coming up in the week, but get to make the trip to play at Mercer County. Just the initial scout you have on the Golden Eagles at this point. They're coming off of a win last night. Both teams 1-1 going into the matchup next week.
Well, you know, I think initially we liked the last night's game from the film. You know, they try to do a lot of what Mama tries to do, and they're just not as big as what they have. They've got some great players up front. You know, they return all their running backs. So, you know, we need to stop the run. Again, you know, it's been our Achilles heel. So, you know, we'll go in and try to scheme that up and do the best we can there, and I think we will. Kind of interesting to see their secondary because they've now on film, you haven't seen another team pass on them. So you're curious as to how that goes. Cale had a tremendous game against them a year ago. No, I know that was a year ago, but we're looking for that, like in a bounce back that way. And it's always interesting how people, you know, scheme up Owen and seeing how they're going to take him out of the game. The way it is right now, I'll say this. I don't, as of even last night is what Monmouth did to him. He still ended up in the end zone three different times. So we got to figure out again. It's my job to figure out a way to keep making sure he touches the ball and doing what he needs to do. And we're excited about the challenge. You know, it's been a while since we've been there, Ty, as you know. And it's been a while actually since I've been there.
It's been a while since you've been there, Coach. On the field, I should say, you were overlooking the field, I suppose, the last time the two teams played. We'll maybe talk about that more in our pregame talk coming into the game. But, you know, this is a game like the last game that these two teams played, which was in, I believe, 2014, was a playoff game. This almost feels like a playoff game with the schedules. Both teams still have to play down the road, both at 1-1. So, I mean, how big of a game does this feel like coming in terms of needing to get a win in week three in this one?
Boy, I hate to – we were on the ride home, and I turned to Coach Bolin, and I said this kind of the same, alluded the same thing you were saying. And I said, I don't want to say this is a must win in week three because there's a lot of football. But the way this gauntlet runs, man, it kind of seems like a playoff game here in early September. So, you know, we're gonna approach it just like we do every week, because every week to us is a playoff game. But to say that there's not a little bit of whoever comes out of here with the win puts themselves in a pretty good chance. Whoever comes out of here with the loss, man, you are climbing a mountain. And listen, I don't, much as I love the Rocky montage and Rocky IV with him climbing the mountain, I really don't want to do that again this year. So we're going to try to take care of business this week and do the best we can.
All right, Coach Filler, appreciate the time, man. Look forward to having the Chargers make the trip to Aledo next week. We'll talk to you later in the week, man. Thanks.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Ty.
Yep, more coming up on WRMJ.
Now at 6140 Run, your feet are about to get faster. Check out the brand new Ghost 17s by Brooks, engineered for smooth rides and soft landings. Or lace up the all-new Clifton 10s by Hoka. Lightweight, responsive, made to move. What max cushion? Step into the plush comfort of the Bondi 9s from Hoka. They're like clouds for your feet. Whether you're chasing miles or just chasing comfort, find your fit at 6140 Run. Now open at 185 West Main Street in Galesburg.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
This is Dale Jones of Merit Auctions. Join me online Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m., when I will conduct a virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms. This is a great pre-harvest opportunity to add equipment to your operation for both fall use and next spring. There are many items that are low time and field ready, like a Brent 678 grain cart, a Harvest International Torpedo 1084 auger, and two very nice head carts, not to mention a Case IH 310 Magnum MFWD tractor, a Ford New Holland 8970 MFWD tractor, and a tremendous line of very nice tillage equipment. Also selling are other tractors, some livestock equipment, and many support items. Visit MeritAuctions.com for online bidding and photos. For any questions, call me, Dale Jones, at 309-299-6400. Don't miss the virtual live equipment auction for Josh Baker and Downey Farms, Thursday, September 18th, starting at 10 a.m.
All right, back inside the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo, Ty Taylor on WRMJ. We are putting the wraps on Sportsline, recapping week two of the 2025 high school football season. Got a fun week ahead in week three. Some interesting and important games locally, with Mercer County hosting Orion next week. We'll also have Rockridge at home against Riverdale in a battle of 2-0 teams, and Sherrard at home against Princeton. Those are our three WRMJ broadcasts next week. Again, if you missed any part of the show, we'll have it online on our WRMJ Sports podcast feed here once it uploads to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, basically wherever you listen to podcasts. You can listen to Sportsline each week in full. Appreciate tuning into Sportsline from the Dale Jones Auctioneer Studios in downtown Aledo. Fighting Illini football coming up next. Illinois kicks off at 11 o'clock this morning against Duke. We will join Fighting Illini Sports Network pregame coverage in progress next. Thanks for tuning into Sportsline, and for WRMJ Sports, I'm Ty Taylor.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier, built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville. Your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, farm, or business. By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. And by Dale Jones with Merit Auctions. If you have farmland or machinery to sell, call Dale at 309-299-6400. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.